بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In this lesson we come to the 35th ayah of this blessed surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Baqarah. And as usual, we'll read together inshallah, and then we'll go through the tafsir bi-idhnillah. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Wa qulna ya Adam uskun.
Wa qulna ya Adam uskun.
Anta wa zawjuka al-jannah.
Anta wa zawjuka al-jannah.
وكلا منها رغدا
وكلا منها رغدا
حيث شئتما
حيث شئتما
ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة
ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة
فتكونا من الظالمين
فتكونا من الظالمين
فأزلهم الشيطان عنها
فأزلهما الشيطان عنها
فأخرجهما مما كانا فيه
فأخرجهما مما كانا فيه
وقلنا اهبطوا بعضكم لبعض عدو
وقلنا اهبطوا بعضكم لبعض عدو
ولكم في الأرض
ولكم في الأرض
مستقر ومتاع إلى حين
مستقر ومتاع إلى حين
فتلقى آدم من ربه
فتلقى آدم من ربه
كلمات فتاب عليه
كلمات
إنه هو التواب الرحيم
إنه هو التواب الرحيم
قلنا اهبطوا منها جميعا
قلنا اهبطوا منها جميعا
فإما يأتينكم مني
فإما يأتينكم
هدى فمن تبع هدايا
هدى فمن تبع هدايا
فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون
فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون
والذين كفروا وكذبوا
والذين كفروا وكذبوا
بآياتنا
بآياتنا
أولئك أصحاب النار
أولئك أصحاب النار
هم فيها خالدون
هم فيها خالدون
فتح الله عليكم. In the previous lesson and the previous ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us the story of the creation of Adam alayhi salam and what took place between the angels and Adam and then finally Iblis. And we finished on the ayah in which Allah Jalla fil Ula, He ordered all of the angels to prostrate in front of Adam. And He ordered them to prostrate in front of Adam, not to worship him, but out of obedience to Allah. And also out of respect for this creation of Allah, whom Allah has made more virtuous than even the angels. So the humans, those who are upon Tawheed and they are upright upon Islam, then they are more virtuous than the angels. And we discussed this last week. However, when Allah ordered the angels to make sujood in front of Adam, all of them prostrated, illa Iblis, except Iblis, aba wastakbara. He refused and he was arrogant, wa kana min al-kafirin, and he was from those people who disbelieved, i.e. rejected the command of Allah. The thing which prevented Iblis from prostrating in front of Adam alayhi salam is, as Allah mentioned, istakbara, that he had takabbur in his heart. He had arrogance and pride in his heart that his race or his creation is better than the creation of the humans. He said, why should I prostrate in front of him? You have created me from the fire and you created him from clay. And then after this, in these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions to us the virtue and the favor which Allah bestowed upon Adam alayhi salam. And there are two particular blessings. The first blessing was that Allah allowed him to live in Jannah. And this was the original abode of the humans, Jannah. And the second blessing is that from his own self, he created for him a wife, in order for him to find comfort in his wife. Allah says, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. And we said, O Adam, live you and your wife in Jannah. And therefore, these are the two blessings which Allah gave Adam alayhi salam, or humans in general. The first blessing was that the original abode, it was Jannah. And then the second blessing was that from him, he created a partner or a spouse for him to find comfort and tranquility in that spouse. And from the favors and blessings of Allah was, وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا, that both of you, Adam and your wife, eat from Jannah whatever you want, i.e. from all of the various fruits and all of the various rewards that you can eat from, eat whatever you want without any exception. But then there was one exception. He said, وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ, but from all of Jannah, do not approach this one tree. This one tree, do not approach it. And Allah Jalla fil Ula, he prevented or he forbade Adam alayhi salam from eating from this fruit tree because of a test. Because of a test, and Allah knows the wisdom behind this test. It wasn't because this tree, it harmed him or it was poisonous. Rather, it was merely a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this ayah tells us that sometimes, as part of our religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell us to do something or warn us from not doing something, and we might not understand the wisdom. But it is a test from Allah. So why is it, for example, that when we make al-mash al-khuffain, we don't wipe the bottom of the foot, and yet we wipe the top of the foot? And like Ali radiallahu anhu said, لَوْ كَانَ الدِّينُ بِالْعَقْلِ, that if this religion was understood according to our intellects and logic, then the bottom of the foot would be أَوْلَى بِالْمَسْحِ, it'd be more deserving of wiping over than the top of the foot. Why? Because it's the bottom of the foot which gets dirty. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not leave this religion to the logic and the intellects of the people, because the logic and the intellect of person differs from one person to another person. Rather, he left it to something which is higher than that, and that is revelation. So whatever Allah commands, whether you understand the wisdom or you don't understand the wisdom, then you have to do it, and whatever he forbade, you stay away from it. And if you don't understand the wisdom, then the least that could be said is that it's a test. It's a test from Allah. Do these people obey what I say, or do they disobey what I say? Why is it, for example, that Allah has ordered the Muslim man to grow his beard? What is the wisdom behind this? The least you could say, it is a test from Allah. Do the people obey that which I say, or do they disobey that which I say? And like this with every single command of Allah. However, Shaytan, Iblis, when he came to Adam, neither did he know the reason why Allah has prevented him from this tree. But he wanted to entice Adam to disobey Allah, because he is an enemy of Allah, and he is an enemy of Adam, an enemy of the Muslims. So he wanted to entice him. And Shaytan, he never entices a person towards disobedience by describing disobedience how it is. Rather, he always beautifies it. So he'll beautify disobedience to Allah, he'll beautify a particular action. And then when a person has disobeyed Allah, you'll think, subhanAllah, why did I do this action? I don't find any tranquility in it, I don't find any happiness in this. And it was only because of the beautification of Iblis towards this act of disobedience. In other ayat, Allah tells us how Iblis, how he enticed and how he beautified this tree for Adam. Allah says in an ayah, فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ. That shaitan, he whispered to Adam, قَالَ يَا Adam. He said, oh Adam, هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ. Shall I show you the tree of eternity? Meaning, if you'll eat from this fruit or from this tree, you will live forever. وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. And if you eat from this tree, then you will have possessions which will never ever diminish. And in another ayah, Allah tells us that Iblis said to Adam, قَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. That Iblis, he said to Adam and his wife, your Lord has not forbidden you from this tree except that if you eat from this tree, you'll be from the angels and you'll be from those who live forever, Khalidin. You will live forever. So this idea of living in this world as if you're going to live for eternity, this is wa'dun iblisi. This is the promise of Iblis. Or this is the enticement, or the enticement of Iblis. And for this reason, you see the kuffar and those people who are only concerned with this dunya, then everything they have is to live in this dunya as long as you can live. Everything is anti-aging. Everything is to reverse aging and so on and so forth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that nobody will live upon this earth forever. So even though Iblis, he described eating from this tree, Shajaratul Khuld, the tree of eternity, as if this abode is the abode of eternity, but Darul Khuld is the Akhirah. And it isn't this life. For this reason, like in this ayah and many other ayat, how many times have you heard where Allah says, Hum fiha khalidun? Over and over again here throughout the Quran, Allah keeps saying, Hum fiha khalidun. This ayah, Hum fiha khalidun, was it ever revealed regarding the dunya? Never. Hum fiha khalidun, it only comes either regarding Jannah or regarding Jahannam, na'udhu billah, either hereafter. Never comes regarding this dunya. And therefore a person has to understand and realize that this, the life upon this world, it isn't something that's going to remain forever or even a long time. And that which does remain forever is the hereafter. And only somebody who lacks intelligence would prefer doing something which is temporary over doing something which is eternal. If I said to you, for example, that I can give you £1,000 right now, or I can give you £100 every week for the rest of the 10 years. Anybody who took the first option and said, no, give me the £1,000 right now, I don't want £100 for the next 10 years every single week, you say this person, he's not clever, he's not intelligent. And yet this is what people are doing with the dunya and the akhirah, that they are willing to lose their akhirah, which is for eternal, for a little bit of enjoyment in this dunya. So they'll do something which is haram, just so they can enjoy something in this dunya, even though they will forbid themselves from the akhirah. So this was the promise of Iblis, and this is how Iblis, he enticed our forefather Adam alayhi salam. And Allah said to Adam, وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Do not come close to this tree. فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And if you do this, then you will be from those who have oppressed. And this is an oppression to yourself. So al-dhulm, oppression, when we hear the word dhulm, we only think about oppressing other people. When somebody says, Fulan did dhulm, he oppressed somebody else. But there is also another dhulm, and this is dhulm which you do on yourself and your own soul. And this is a dhulm of sinning. You are wronging yourself and you are oppressing your own self. And for this reason, when Allah said, فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, that if you eat from this tree, you will be from the oppressors, there's nobody else to oppress there. There was no other humans. So who were they oppressing? Only themselves. So these are the two types of dhulm. One dhulm is that which you do on others, stealing, behaving violently, taking the right. And there's one dhulm which you do upon yourself, and that is through sinning. And when Iblis, he made this promise to Adam alayhi salam, in another ayah, Allah says that he came to him and he said to him, إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. that I am for both of you a truthful advisor. Eat from this tree and you will live forever. I'm not lying. Why? Inni lakuma lamina nasihin. Because I am for both of you somebody who gives you nasiha. And the meaning of nasiha is sincere advice. And this ayah shows us that not everybody who comes to you advising you, that you should accept his advice. And not everybody who claims to be a sincere advisor is a sincere advisor. So first of all, you should look that this person who's advising you and you're going to take his advice, is he sincere or not? Does he want goodness for you? Or is he out of jealousy? Is there other problems that he's got? Is he known for harming other people? Therefore, you don't take his advice. And then the second thing is, even if this person is sincere, but does he have expertise in this matter in order to advise you? So the ibrah, the point, isn't always due to the intention of a person. Then you think, well, he's got a good intention, I'll take his advice. You have to look at two things. Does he have a good intention? And also, does he have enough knowledge and expertise to advise me in this matter? When sincerity and intention and having the knowledge and expertise come together, then you take his advice. When he is insincere in his intention, or perhaps he's sincere but he didn't have the expertise to advise in this matter, then you should be careful with regards to taking his advice. And of course, Adam, he was enticed by this, and then he ate from that tree. As Allah says, فَأَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا. So shaitan, he caused both of them, zalla, to slip up. It was something that they were enticed by, and they made a mistake, and they fell into this. فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ. So then Allah, he exiled them from the place in which they were, i.e. they were in Jannah, and therefore because of this sin and because of failing this test, Allah, he exiled them from this abode. وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. And then we said to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we said to them, i.e. we said to Adam and Hawa, and we said to Iblis as well, اِهْبِطُوا, that go down, descend to the earth, بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. Some of you are enemies to others, meaning humans and their offspring, and Iblis and his offspring, they are an enemy to each other. Iblis and his offspring, they are an enemy for humans and their offspring. And you know, of course, as a Shaykh al-Sa'di rahimullah says, that an enemy, an udu, he only strives his best in order to harm you. And everything which he entices you with, because he's your udu, because he's your enemy, he's only trying to harm you, even if he tries to beautify it. Now this is what Iblis did with Adam alayhi salam. He didn't say to him, eat from this tree, and if you eat from this tree, then you're going to be exiled from Jannah, and this is bad for you, and so on and so forth. No, he said, eat from this tree, it's good for you. Eat from this tree, you'll be an angel. Eat from this tree, you're going to live forever. And this is how Iblis works. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that this shaitan, this Iblis, he's an enemy to us. So don't take him as your close friend. Like Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. Verily, shaitan is an enemy for you. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوٌ. So consider him to be an enemy. Don't think that he's your friend. Consider him to be an enemy. And Allah says in the Quran, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَا مِن دُونِي. Do you take shaitan and the offspring of shaitan to be awliya, to be supporters and friends besides me? And then Allah told us, to which abode did he exile Adam and his wife and also Iblis, which abode did he exile them to? He said, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ, that there is for you an abode upon the earth. Go down to the earth, there is going to be an abode for you in the earth. وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ, and there will also be some enjoyment for a temporary amount of time. And the meaning of heen is an amount of time or a period of time. Notice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't say to Adam alayhi salam, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ, that there is for you upon the earth an abode and enjoyment. He reminded him and he reminded us that there is for you upon the earth an abode and an enjoyment, but only for a short amount of time. And once you have completed that time and you've completed that set period upon this earth and you've had that little bit of enjoyment, then you will go back to the abode which you were actually created for, either abode of the Akhirah. Because as we mentioned, Adam alayhi salam and the humans, they were created for the Akhirah. Even though the earth was there, did Allah place Adam upon the earth first, or did He place him upon in Jannah first? Placed him in Jannah. And He only sent him to the earth as a punishment for the sin. So this shows that the abode which the humans were created for, and the abode which was created for the humans, was not the earth. Rather, it was the Akhirah. And that is where we belong, and that is where we will go. So when Allah says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ, there is for you in the earth a settlement and an enjoyment for a particular amount of time. It's as if Allah is saying, and then once you have fulfilled this time, then you will go back to the abode which you were created for, and it was created for you. And this therefore shows us that the abode of the dunya, it is only for a short amount of time. It is only for a temporary amount of time. And it is only Iblis and Shaitan who entices the people to thinking that they will live for a long time upon this dunya, or they will live for eternity. And subhanAllah, people are prepared to destroy the house in the Akhirah, which will last forever, for a temporary house in this dunya, which will only last for a short amount of time. And that is if person lives for 60, 70, 80 years. Whereas now, you see every day you hear of a janazah of a 30-year-old, or a 15-year-old, or a 40-year-old, and dying from this disease, and that disease, and this. So even this long amount of time, in the majority of cases, even that is shortened within itself. And therefore, every single person, he should see this dunya only as a journey. That the final destination, it is the Akhirah. And for those who do good, it is Jannah. May Allah make us from the people of Jannah. And for those who do evil, it is Jahannam. May Allah save us. And this dunya, it isn't the destination. This dunya, it is merely a journey. And you know that when you're on a journey, to make it easy to understand, when you're on a journey, let's say you're going from Nelson to London, for example. And of course, on the way, on the journey, you might stop at a service station. And when you're at the service station, you maybe stop for half an hour, take some rest. You might go to the shop, buy a few provisions. And you only buy those amount of provisions which are enough for you to then carry on to your journey, and you get back you go to your destination. This is the same example with regards to a believer or a human and this earth. That whilst you're upon this earth, you have to take some respite. You have to stop and take a break. And you have to also take some provisions. You need some food and some drink and some provisions to last your journey. But you only take from this dunya that which is sufficient for you for the Akhirah. That which is sufficient for you on the journey. Nobody, for example, when he's on the journey and he stops at the service station, does a week's shopping. Why don't they do a week's shopping? Because they know, I'm only taking from this service station, from this stop, what I need for my journey. And when I get to my destination, that's where I'll do the rest of the buying and the purchasing. And like this with the dunya and the journey that you're in. That whilst you're here and you're stopping for a short amount of time, we take the provisions from this dunya, that which we need for our journey. And the rest is the Akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He spoke about provisions. He said, فَتَزَوَّدُوا وَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. That take your provisions. Take your provisions whilst you're here, but the best of the provisions are at-taqwa. The best of the provisions, it is at-taqwa. Because this provision of at-taqwa, it will also benefit you in the hereafter. And this example of this dunya being like a person on a journey is the same example which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would give to his companions over and over again. So he said to Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he said, كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبُ أَوْ عَابِرَ سَبِيلٍ. Be in this dunya as if you are a gharib. And the meaning of gharib in the Arabic language is a stranger, meaning you don't really belong here. Or aabira sabil, or somebody who is on a journey, and you're just taking a short pit stop, and then you're going to carry on in your journey. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave an example of his own self, and he said, "Innama mathali wal mathal ad-dunya karakibin." That the example of me and this dunya is like a rider, a traveler, a person who is riding an animal. Fanama tahta ash-shajara, and then he took a nap under a tree, or tahta dhilli shajara, or he took some rest under the shade of a tree. Fi yawmin sa'ifin, in a very warm day. Thumma raha, thumma tarakaha, and then he rested, and then he got up, and then he left. This is the example which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give. And then, because Adam alayhi salam, because he had fallen into this error and committed this sin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wanted to inspire Adam to making tawbah. So then Allah says, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. And then Adam alayhi salam, he was inspired by his Lord with certain words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave him the tawfiq to make tawbah, to seek repentance. And these words which Allah taught Adam alayhi salam and inspired him with, these words have been mentioned in other ayat in the Quran, and they are رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. These are the words which Allah gave to Adam alayhi salam in order to seek repentance for his sin. رَبَّنَا, O our Lord, ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, we have oppressed ourselves, because Allah said to him, وَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, that if you do this, you will oppress yourself. So then Adam made the dua with the very same wordings. رَبَّنَا, O our Lord, إِنَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, we have oppressed ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا, and if you do not forgive us, وَتَرْحَمْنَا, and if you do not have mercy upon us, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, then we will be the ones who have destroyed ourselves. Why? Because we oppressed ourselves, and the conclusion of oppression is only loss and destruction. And these are the words which Allah taught Adam alayhi salam, and then Allah says, فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. So Allah, he accepted his repentance and he forgave him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in another hadith, "Man taba, taba Allahu alayhi." Whoever seeks repentance, Allah will accept his repentance and forgive his sins. Innahu, why? Why did Allah accept his repentance? Why did Allah accept his tawbah? Innahu huwa at-tawwab ar-rahim. Because Allah, verily he is at-tawwab and he is ar-rahim. And At-Tawwab and Ar-Rahim are two of the beautiful names of Allah. The meaning of At-Tawwab is one who accepts repentance from many, many, many people. Because Tawwab, it is Sighatul Mubalagha. Allah has brought it in a pattern in the Arabic, a pattern of emphasis. Allah is emphasizing that he's a tawwab, meaning he repents and repents and repents. It's like the difference between, for example, ar-raziq and ar-razzaq. The meaning of ar-raziq is somebody who gives sustenance. The meaning of razzaq is somebody who gives a lot and a lot of sustenance. The difference between qatil and qattal. Qatil means somebody who killed, but qattal is, you know, somebody who slaughters and kills. And this is like at-tawwab. At-tawwab meaning he repents and he repents and he repents. And he is also ar-rahim. Ar-rahim, i.e. he is merciful towards his worshipping slaves in this dunya and also in the hereafter. And when a person sincerely makes tawbah, when a person sincerely repents, then there are two blessings which Allah has blessed this person with. First of all, like Allah did with Adam alayhi salam, who gave this person the tawfiq to seek repentance? It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first blessing. The fact that you are making tawbah to Allah and making istighfar to Allah, that within itself is a blessing. That Allah has allowed you and guided you to make tawbah. Otherwise, how many people are there out there and they sin and sin and sin, and yet they don't have the tawfiq to make a tawbah? Then after Allah blesses you with allowing you to seek repentance, then the next blessing is He accepts your repentance. فَتَابَ عَلِي. So Allah accepted his repentance. إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. And then Allah emphasized one more time that He sent Adam down to the earth. He said, قُلْ نَهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. That all of you, Adam and Hawa and Iblis and his offspring, all of you are exiled down to the earth. And then Allah, He described Ahlu Sa'ada, the people of happiness, and He described Ahlu Shiqawa, the people of wretchedness. There are two groups of people. From the humans and the jinn, there are only two groups and there is no third. There is either Ahlu Sa'ada, the people of happiness, or there is Ahlu Shiqawa, the people of wretchedness. And Allah described both of them in these next two ayat. He said, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدَى. That when guidance from me will come to you, i.e. when the messengers will come to you and the prophets will come to you and my message will come to you, the commandments of Islam will come to you, when the book will come to you, when this huda, when this guidance comes to you, فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ. The one who follows my guidance and accepts the guidance, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Then there will be no fear upon them and neither will there be any anxiety. And these are two different things. Notice how Allah mentions khawf and al-huzn. Khawf is fear and huzn is anxiety. And the mufassirun, rahimahumullah, they mention the benefit of Allah mentioning both khawf and huzn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is negating from those people who have iman, they follow the guidance, the worry of the past and the worry of the future. فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. There is no fear upon them, I khawf of the future, in the hereafter. Those people who accept the guidance and they follow the guidance, there is no fear for them in the future. Why? Because they will enter into Jannah bi-idhnillah. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And any previous sins which they have done, there will be no anxiety in the past as well. Why? Because they sought repentance and Allah accepted their repentance. So these are the people of Sa'ada, the people of happiness. That there is no worry of that which went by and there is no fear of that which happens in the future. And now the people of Shiqawa, the people of wretchedness. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Those people who disbelieve. وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. And they reject our ayat. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. They are the people of the fire. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And they will remain in it forever. So therefore, creation, i.e. humans and jinn, both of them, they are divided into two groups of people, or two groups of creation. Either you will be from Ahlu Sa'ada, the people of happiness, or you will be from Ahlu Shiqawa, the people of wretchedness. Who are Ahlu Sa'ada? Allah says, فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ. Those who accept my guidance and implement my guidance and live according to my guidance, they are the Ahlu Sa'ada. They are the people of happiness. And who are Ahlu Shiqawa? Who are the people of wretchedness? الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ. Whoever disbelieves and rejects my ayat. And therefore, the author, he mentions that there are four things which are linked to whether you follow the guidance or you disbelieve in the guidance. Four things. In this ayah, Allah mentions two things. فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There is no fear of the future and there is no worry of the past. There is no anxiety of the past for those people who accept the guidance. And therefore, for those people who don't accept the guidance, the only thing they will have is fear of the akhirah and anxieties of the past. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, with the same wording, He said, فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ. Whoever follows my guidance, فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Then he will not be misguided and he will not have shiqawa. He will not have wretchedness. So four things are mentioned regarding or linked to following the guidance of Allah. Khawf and huzn, fear and anxieties, and al-dalal and ashiqawa, and misguidance and wretchedness. And the opposite is also true, that whoever follows the guidance, if there is no khawf for him, then there is aman, there is complete safety. And if there is no huzn upon him, then there is complete salama, complete rest of mind. And if he isn't misguided, فَلَا يَضِلُّ, then for him is guidance. وَلَا يَشْقَى, and if he isn't wretched, then for him is السَّعَادَة. And Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimullah, he mentioned in a piece of poetry, he said, لَسْتُ أَرَى السَّعَادَةَ جَمْعَ مَالٍ. He said, I do not consider happiness to be gathering a lot of wealth. وَلَكِنَّ التَّقِيُّ هُوَ السَّعِيدُ. But the person of taqwa, he is the person who has complete happiness. To summarize, in these ayat, there are a number of benefits. The first of the benefits is, Allah has divided the jinn and the humans to two groups, either Ahlul Sa'ada or Ahlul Shiqawa. And also, Allah described to us who are Ahlul Sa'ada and who are Ahlul Shiqawa. Ahlul Sa'ada are فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ, whoever accepts my guidance. And Ahlul Shiqawa, the people of wretchedness, they are وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. Also, from the benefits of this ayah is that the jinn and the humans, they are both equal in terms of the reward and the punishment from Allah. So the jinn and the humans, just as in the humans they are Muslims and Kufar and Ahlul Sa'ad and Ahlul Shiqawa, then also from the jinn there are Muslims and they are Kufar, and there is Ahlul Sa'ada and there is Ahlul Shiqawa. And also that both of them, they are equal in terms of the obligation of following the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accepting the guidance. And we suffice with that bi idhnillah. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.